There's gonna be a new sheriff in town. He came all the way from England. But he won't fight against them indigenous people in the reservations. He's gonna give it to you in a podcast form. BVFC BMPAA is back for a limited time only. And here we have our usual Mark, Skinny Media, and then Bobatron, Rob Bavister.
What's up, dudes?
And today we're going to be talking about the most American genre in all of America, even though Italians also made them as well. Westerns.
They're the best ones.
I would say Australia has the upper hand on the Western, which I'll discuss in a little bit, but to each his own, I suppose.
That is a whole new ball. Kettle of fish altogether. Well, there's a bit to talk about just by mentioning that little tidbit. So yeah, I mean, probably a lot to sink our teeth into, so I don't think we should beat about the bush. I guess I'll fire away, Mark, like you normally do.
As always. If anything, now before we go on to the good bits, do you want to do it in a select Southern American accent like I did, John Wayne? Or just doing your typical West Country dialect?
Well, howdy, y'all. I can give it a try, but I'm not too good at maintaining a foreign accent and all that. and that kind of stuff, y'all. I sound a little bit like a twat, which Americans don't even say. So that's the facade dropped already, y'all.
Anyone who thinks there's a twat, it's like saying you're an asshole. For my American listeners.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah.
So, as always, when we do these podcasts, we usually ask, when is your early experiences with Westerns, ratings wise, or just watching them in general? I'll let you start off first. You probably know a little bit more about the cowboy genre than I do.
I can't say I do, Mark, but I mean, for the sake of 8 years, considering how old this genre is, for the sake of 8 years, I mean, I don't think it's going to make much difference. But I don't know if you ever, anytime you were off school or it was on a, be it the holidays or half term, or maybe you were just off sick, or it was the weekends. And of course, there'd always be some old school Western on TV, either one of those spaghetti Westerns or one of the old, older ones like the John Wayne ones would be on, but they're always so old-fashioned and everything, and what may have been and probably were exciting back in boomer times or pre-boomer times, but by nowadays standards are remarkably tame. Obviously, I saw enough Western spoofs in old Looney Tunes cartoons and stuff like that, or Tex Avery cartoons. So, the whole Western thing had been spoofed to death and everything. I can't remember what. I probably didn't sit through a full Western film till I was went into my 20s or anything, when I sat down and watched True Grit, the original one, the John Wayne one, just before I went on to go see the remake at the cinema in early 2011.
I remember when I saw that as well.
Bearing in mind, I was already in my mid-20s by that point. I don't think I ever sat down and watched a full Western when I was a kid, because they seemed so old-fashioned. They just didn't really entice me that much. Which is a bit unfortunate, because there is a lot to get out of that. I mean, I know, looking back at it, and anyone who's listened to this, and you certainly know this, Mark, that I am hardcore left-wing. I mean, you've picked that up, I take it.
I have. Compared to you, I look like a Nazi. Oh.
Well, I think most people don't. Well, don't be too hard on yourself, but I think a lot of people could do. Westerns are renowned for being incredible, having a right wing messages or right wing themes behind them. It's not surprising that people that associated West Wing are, of course, Ronald Reagan and John Wayne, who was basically a massively right-wing Republican supporting guy. And of course, they were at the peak during the 50s, during the Cold War. So there's that. Obviously, the more revisionist spaghetti westerns did try to deconstruct them quite a bit, portraying them as less as heroic and obviously being more sympathetic towards the Native Americans, which they fucking should be. Let's face it, the whole concept of cowboys, Indians is quite unsympathetic considering what was actually going on. But I think it's a bit rambly right now. So yeah, I mean, I saw one or two, I caught some of two westerns on TV when I was a kid. I saw some cartoons spoofing them when I was a little kid. Never really sat down and watched a whole movie. Probably didn't watch a full western movie until I was a full on grown up. At least a western in the conventional sense of cowboys and Indians, because you know the concept of a western can be expanded into a lot of things, which I do intend to get us into later. But that's enough about me, Marcus. What about you?
Woody from Toy Story. Well, that's not really a western, really, but you know, that was my sort of first.
Dude, don't stretch the definition out. Come on, man. Give me a bit more than that.
No, I know. I was just being funny there. It's just for me because, you know, Woody is one of my favorite film of all time. And he's supposed to be a reference to Woody Strode, I believe. He was like a famous cowboy. He's actually a black, one of the first African-American ones in cinema history, which is funny on Mars because Pixar, you wouldn't really think that really. But let me reel it back in a little bit. And I'll say, for me, it was American Tail, Fifield Goes West. That's one of the first westerns I ever saw when I was a child. Pretty standard year. I know some people might say, oh, they're playing with guns and stuff, but that's what's expected in the genre itself. And like you said earlier, one with Looney Tunes, Yosemite Sam, What a Nation! And as far as cinema is concerned, seeing westerns, I've seen a lot more films with graphic violence and sex in them, and I've seen westerns, I can tell you that, at least in the cinema. I mean, the first one I saw was Home on the Range, which was a Disney film back in Luton. It was a youth certificate, but it was slapstick.
I've not seen that film, but I have heard it is absolute shit.
Well, I thought it was funny and much more entertaining than, what's that one everyone talks about? Like Meet the Robinsons or Frozen, Wreck-It Ralph or Brother Bear. I prefer to forget I saw those. You know, Home on the Range was sort of Disney on its last days after Lilo and Stitch and Treasure Planet. That sort of tells you.
Well, I mean, you talk about the rating, it being U, but True Grit was, when it came out, it was originally a U rating.
I know, that's a bit hard to believe, really, because the remake's 15. You know, it's got People's fingers being cut off and stuff.
Even though it's only PG-13 in America, which does push it a little bit. That should have been R-rated. Well, all Westerns should be R-rated because that's what Westerns are for. Although, again, we will get into this a bit later on, but I've seen the BBFC being a little bit, lenient on westerns recently, but that'll be tucked into later. It's not for talk about right now. Maybe you should continue what you were talking about a bit as you were.
Well, if you're talking about leniency, I guess like McClintock. I saw that a few weeks ago with my mother during Christmas. That was a youth certificate, and I've never really seen a John Wayne movie, but that was my first one. I thought, there's a lot of violence and there's some spanking as well. That can be interpreted as sexual or just to humiliate someone, and a lot of derogatory remarks about them engines. And that was a U certificate and it still is. But as far as I'm concerned, for anyone who is curious what my favorite Western is, no, it is not the first 4 minutes of Toy Story 3. That's more of a comedy drama adventure. It's actually Blazing Saddles. And most people who are listening to this probably would have seen or have heard of it by now. I'm actually surprised that it was re-rated 12A, because it is quite vulgar. And a lot of use of the word that rhymes with trigger.
It was actually double A
at the time.
I was going to mention it, actually, because I totally forgot. I have seen Blazing Saddles once. I mean, I was probably a bit drunk at the time, so I can't remember too much about it. But I do remember actually watching that, and what's the point? That was actually before I saw True Grit, so that could be my first full-on Western that I've actually watched. But yeah, where was I going with that? Oh, freaking hell, but yeah, I'd seen Blazing Saddles once. The one that boomers love to talk about. Oh, you couldn't make that these days. It's like, well, no, because everyone, it's already been made, so it'd be no point.
Weirdly enough, I'm a little bit more conservative on this opinion than you are. I mean, yes, it is vulgar as hell, especially seeing how flexible and lenient that word, that rhymes with trigger, is in the movie. I'm a little surprised that it passed re-rated recently as a 12A, because it's used so flippantly, and some people might miss the satire on it.
Well, it could be that it was justified, A, by satire, and B, by historical context. It's set in the Western times, and people just threw that word around. At least that's my rationale for it.
Oh, no, I totally get that. I mean, I've seen U and PG films that use that word quite liberally. Normally, if you're going to be using that word quite flippantly, and there's no sort of overt historical context behind it, it could be in the same offence category as saying fuck. Maybe cunt, but let's just say fuck, because that word gets bleeped out all the time. But yeah, I don't know. Did you agree with it being 12A or its original 15AA? Because I think 15AA makes more sense than that one, and I love that movie.
I've only seen it once, and I can't remember it, so I can't say for sure. If it's going to be a 15, it is a very mild 15. I mean, like I say, I'm kind of impressed with the BBFC for allowing it to be 12A. It shows how cool and liberal they can be when they want to be. So you've got to give them props for that. I mean, just for that sake. I mean, I'm not wrong.
It's like Life of Brian. It's a legacy film. Most people either heard or seen it. So they probably said...
Dude, that's what I was getting at. Because, I mean, Life of Brian, that's stronger. That's got the 6 F-bombs. Well, I've heard 5, but 6 F-bombs, apparently. And the 2 instances of full frontal nudity. Okay, I've got to go get my pizza, okay? Please hold.
All right. And now back to the weather. There's going to be chances of snow and storms flexing throughout Britain, with temperatures varying between 5 to 8 Celsius, mostly in the mornings when the numbers will be quite base, quite lower. But you can always bundle up with a Helly Hansen or North Face or Patagonia coat, parka, or even fleece while you're walking along. Oh, thank you for stopping by. I was just doing a little weather report for people who are listening. Anything, break the tension. It's like humour.
Yeah, I know. So, as I was saying, what was I saying about, because, I mean, while the nudity in Life of Brian is not sexualized, there's still nudity. And, of course, you've got 2 nudity, the 6 F-bombs. Yeah, it's a 12A. From what I hear, Blazing Saddles doesn't have anything near that level of normal language. In fact, I'm on IMDb right now as we speak, so I'm actually going to look it up.
The word trigger. It rhymes.
Yes,
with it.
I'm aware of that. Okay.
And sexual innuendos.
Not sexual innuendos, or we don't like that. Okay, what's that got? Profanity, phrase of God, one use of twat, one inaudible mouthed F word towards the end of a movie saying, what the fuck's all, okay, the F slur rhyming with maggot is said twice, constant use of the N word, well, okay, that's all damned, you have nothing left to go. Asian man is called the C word that rhymes with wink, so yeah, there's a bit of, well, that's where all that bloody shit with, people saying, oh, I couldn't make this nowadays, could you? In the most cringe thing way. But you know what? I think they say we're too sensitive nowadays, but it's like, well, they just passed that really edgy film with 12A rather than the 15 that was before. So, take it for what it is.
Definitely. I mean, like Life, Brian, or Jaws, most people have seen it and they already know the score already. Watership Down even when it was re-rated PG, it didn't make a heap of difference because most parents treat PGs like U's anyway. You got to be a very Christian parent to be that strict on a rating these days.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, like I say, I mean, PG has been this. Well, okay, we don't want to get off topic. Yeah, we've said what we said about a PG rating and what it used to be associated with and what it's now associated with. So it's not surprising. Not surprising. Of course, most of these yeah, I'm looking at the old, I'm just looking at High Noon right now, that Gary Cooper one. And that was a U rating as well. Doesn't look like a cut. So, yeah, but yeah. Then again, a lot of those, a lot of those movies, of course, were made under the oppressive thumb of America's Hays Code. So it's not surprising the BBFC probably wouldn't have too much issue with them. It's, of course, when the 60s came about and those new wave of Italian spaghetti Western movies were made. Right. Which, of course, was Italian cinema was not as highly constrained as American or British one is, because it didn't have the Hays Code or the BBFC back when they were absolutely ridiculously, you know, under the, you know, heavy-handed with shit.
Well, and I mean, they had the influence of the Catholic Church. Well, they was always sticking their own, especially on movies like Salo.
True, but they couldn't really do that much about it. I mean, it's not surprising that these spaghetti westerns really did push the boundaries. And you had the Dollars trilogy, like A Fistful of Dollars and A Few Dollars More, and the one we're going to get onto later were absolutely epic. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And while they're all uncut 15s now, they were all rated X at the time, and they were cut for X's. I don't know if they had to. I mean, I know the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. They said the American version is a lot shorter than the European version, probably because they had to cut out all the stuff that the Hays Code was going to throw a hissy fit over. And well, yeah. So I mean, that says it all, really. I mean, I only sat down and watched the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly for the first time. Only a few years back, I was watching it during lockdown. Yeah, and I was like, this is fucking awesome. I mean, it's 3 hours long. You don't notice it. I mean, obviously, it's like, you know, absolute classic because, I mean, it's got that that score of a wow, wow, wow. And, I mean, yeah. I mean, it makes an effort, like it would be, what's it? Was it the Western, spaghetti Westerns of a time? As opposed to the pre-spaghetti Westerns, not to romanticize the West, and probably portrayed the cowboys more as anti-heroes rather than, you know, Prince Valiant with a gun. I don't know what's going on. Although they probably could have betrayed, I don't know if they betrayed the Native Americans quite as positively as they could have. But yeah, I mean, that was an amazing flick. I mean, it's the reason why it's considered the greatest Western ever.
Well, it does earn its distinction and merits, and I've only ever seen clips of it. As far as Clint Eastwood is concerned, I think Outlaw Jersey Wales is probably his better Western movie that he's done. I know not a lot of people remember that one because they always remember Unforgiven, but Outlaw Jersey Wales, I think, was PG when it came out, and but 18 or X in the UK, and it's got quite a lot of shit, you know, legacy PG title. It even has rape, and I thought, Jesus.
I heard a saying about the phrase, was it, hang them high? I think it's hang them high. I mean, yeah, I swear it was a film, yeah, hang them high in America, which is another one, which is another one of those Eastwood spaghetti westerns, which again PG in America but 18 over here. And of course, obviously, this is back when like the BBFC were just completely off the rails and they just didn't know. I just don't think they know what they were doing. Again, I'm rambling again a little bit, but
well, I mean, it's probably, you know, maybe a combination of one, you know, they were quite disturbed by how violent these American films were. Because they also cracked down on crime dramas for similar reasons, saying it's an American problem.
What was it? And was it actually an American film, or was it wasn't one of those spaghetti westerns?
I don't know necessarily about that title, but I can just infer from probably, you know, because you know how British people are. They're always Amerophobic, even though they eat
Big
McDonald's
phrase,
and
Amazon.
drive Apple and Ford.
Yeah, but so are loads of other countries as well.
Exactly. And then at the flip side, they were quite leaning on the John Wayne stuff. And, you know, I remember seeing Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, that one scene where I think there was like a beating or something. I thought, I don't think there are a lot of 6-year-olds who would go out of their way saying, "Mommy, can I watch Liberty Valance?" More like their grandparent would.
Apparently, yeah, because when Outlaw was when it was originally released here, cut by 16 seconds to get to the double A rating, and it was basically the edit the attempted rape of Laura Lee in order to get a double A rating. All later releases were upgraded to an 18 and fully uncut. Yeah,
I
I mean, it's
wish I'd
bizarre
done more
because.
research on that one.
Well, like I say, I mean, go on, just look it up on IMDb. It tells you what you need to know.
But yeah, you know, that's a title kind of like Badlands. I don't know if Badlands is considered Western, but it's got some influences. That was also X and 18 for a long time until it was downgraded to 15. And I just thought, oh, that's a really big leap. PG to 18, you know, that's almost as bizarre as Beetlejuice being PG stateside, but 15 in the UK. What
Well, that's
am I to
because there
say?
wasn't any. Well, that's because there wasn't like anything in between at the time being. I mean, maybe if it was PG-13 and 12 existed at the time being, they would have been both. But we can't say really, can we?
No, not really. I know we discussed that on the horror podcast, and also, you know, it's the first 15 film I ever saw, so it was catching me a bit by surprise whenever I discussed about Beetlejuice. But that's not really a Western, so we'll move on from there. But as far as I don't know if we want to talk about modern Westerns that, you know,
Well,
BBC is
look.
focused on, because I know you said they have sort of slipped a bit.
Well, dude, I mean, dude, well, Mark, the one I was gonna mention, because I watched it recently and everything, was the film There Will Be Blood.
I love that film. I remember
Oh,
seeing
it's
it on
great.
the in-flight entertainment. I was like going
I
for the
drank
Heathrow at
your
LAX. Milkshake.
milkshake. Because
I drank it
that.
up.
That was
Now,
a clear R in America. But when it came to the UK to go to the BBFC, they initially rated it 12A. And it's only when they appealed it did they actually upgrade it to a 15 because at the request of the distributors. I guess they felt that basically the film didn't really appeal to, well, anyone 12-year-olds, let alone anyone under 12 or anything. It mostly would appeal to those 15 or older. And who might be put off by seeing a 12-rated film, who might think it's a little bitch film. It's not really cool and hard. So they figured, yeah, once in a while, rather than trying to get the rating down, they wanted it bumped up. And of course, I have watched the film, and to be fair, minus that the scene at the end, after that, I drank your milkshake line. Doesn't it is quite tame actually. It is surprising. It's just. Minus that scene, there isn't a lot in it. And I have to really got to. I mean, well, you know where I'm going with that. You know what I mean by that.
no, actually, I do. I do. I mean, when I first saw, I didn't pick up on what was the 15 catalyst there. It just seemed awfully mild to me. I mean, you could even air it on American TV and there wouldn't be anything cut on it, like for ABC or CBS. But yeah, there is, it lives by its title's sake, and you do see a man being bludgeoned to death in the head.
And
Impact
there is
shots are not
quite a bit.
shown, but there's, you know, a pool of blood coming out of his head, and he says,
You do
"Oh, I'm
see injury
finished."
de you do see injury details, so there is that.
Is
And
true.
another, I think it's a Western, although correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Nomadland a Western of some sort?
It's like a neo-Western. You know, they said that about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but it's more Neo. It's more of a drama, but I know that was rated R because of brief nudity, which I just thought was fucking ridiculous because they re-rated Asteroid City PG-13 on the pill for the same thing. And it was 12A, but they didn't even list nudity as an issue. It was suicide references and language. So that tells you quite a lot there.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe with another. Western movie that came out recently. I don't know if it was, but maybe it was another one. That was a 12A rated here, but it got a, an R rating in America. But I can't for fucking life of me think what it was.
Is it Open Range?
That's what we're about to find out. So let's have a look. Open Range. Oh no, it's a bit more recent than that, I think. Although Open Range with Kevin Costner and that was radar. Oh shit. Jeez, the MPAA had a bad run in 2003. With between that, Terminator 3, and I Capture the Castle, they were really not looking good on themselves.
And one would think, you know, at least in America, where, you know, Western, it's a conservative genre, they have more relaxed attitudes to violence. They're a little bit uptight on Open Range, I presume, like they will if there'll be blood. I'm sure fathers would rather have them watch There'll Be Blood than, let's say, Woman Talking, which is a PG-13 movie that's explicitly about rape and sexual assault, hearsay, you know, discussions in an Amish community on Mennonite.
I mean, possibly. I know there's, maybe it was No Man's Land. I just don't know. But like, God, there is something. There was one. I remember seeing it, but I can't remember what the goddamn hell it was. Oh, I think I found it. I'm just going to double check the rating to make sure it is the one I think it was. But I've got a good, yes, The Power of the Dog.
Oh, wait, I've heard of that one. From what I was told, I think there was some sexual content that kind of pushed it over the edge a bit. I haven't seen it, but you can give me your skinny media review on it.
No, dude, I've not seen it either. I really cannot bloody... I just remember hearing about it.
Okay.
Western psychological drama film, stars Benedict Cumberbatch and Kirsten Dunst, so make of that what you will. Seriously, it was a... Where was it going? Yeah, it just... A Western film, R in America, 12A in... 12A in Britain. Oh, yeah, and of course M in Australia, but that's probably not, you're not probably not too surprised about hear that. That's what I'm saying when I feel that the BBFC has like recently become quite lenient when it comes to Western.
Well, it depends on the issue.
True Grit shows it that the other way, so maybe not.
If it's a film that has sort of rape, sexual violence, stuff like The Nightingale, which is an Australian Western set in Tasmania, they cracked down hard on that one. That was a 418 certificate, and it's a disturbing movie. I don't recommend it if you're watching it with someone. And then on the flip side, Django Unchained, that was 18. And I know you think BBFC has Tarantino derangement syndrome and thinks they're a bit too overzealous on... Tarantino movies, but I thought Django was fine at 18. It was very violent. I remember seeing it with my mother, and she doesn't really watch 18 films that much. And she almost felt nauseous.
Well, obviously, yeah, it's a violent movie. The Tarantino is violent. Yeah, I'm not really going to argue that should be 15. Although one could argue that the historical context of the violence could keep it at 15. But you know what? Let's just. I'm not going to die on that hill, okay? Probably talking a bit too quickly again. Of course, one movie that came out just recently and it counts as a Western, Killers of the Flower Moon. Technically a Western, if you think about it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. Maybe the 3-hour, 30-minute running time was a bit of a, for me. But I think, as far as the one told, it's an important story. With more people now knowing about Tulsa Massacre, now they can know about Osage County murders of indigenous people. And I'm sure it was a 15 because of the racist violence.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, yes, it was 15. Yes, it was R-rated. And yes, it was only an M in Australia after they'd cut it.
What?
No, they apparently, the Australian distributors decided they wanted an M rather than MA 15+, so they applied some cuts to it. I guess, the M can be a lot more accommodating than the 12A or the PG-13, so they decided that it could fit into it. But I got to admit, and bear in mind, this is Martin fucking Scorsese we're talking about here. The man who gave us Goodfellas and Casino. Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street and freaking The Irishman.
Taxi Driver.
He loves it. Well, yeah, but, fair enough. He loves his long films, doesn't he? But, his films are peppered with violence and bad language. This is such a tame film. In the 3.5-hour runtime, the word fuck is mentioned twice. And there is some strong violence. But again, really, really sporadic. I mean, I wouldn't have rated the film 12A or anything because those violent scenes would have gone beyond that and it could not be described as fantastical. I was about to say historical context, but I wouldn't justify that for 12. But fuck me, when you hear an R-rated Scorsese film, you're expecting a lot of vulgar stuff, and it's quite devoid of it.
Yeah, that's a bit unusual, I suppose, because he does go for the jugular, but I guess he didn't want to be exploitative on the issue of violence towards indigenous communities and reservations. So it's there's a certain criteria that they say show some restraint, because I know in Australia, and we're going to be talking about their Westerns in a moment, they have to put disclaimers before the film that says the following feature depicts depictions of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people's dead bodies or the discussion of their deaths, so as to not offend. So that's probably maybe a cultural custom that we Westerners don't quite understand, maybe those who are from more sort of isolated communities do.
I appreciate that. I mean, obviously, with Killers of a Flower Moon, he did try to get some indigenous representation in, hence with Lily Gladstone, who does turn in a fucking stellar performance. So yeah, maybe he wanted to be a bit more respectful and everything. And credit to his credit. And of course, other Westerns Westerns that star Leonardo DiCaprio, of course. Have you seen The Revenant?
I have. I remember we talked about it on one of our podcasts before, and that was very strong as far as I was at 15 because of not only the scalping implication, but there was rape. And I think, that scene with being mauled by a bear was quite extensive, although it's certainly not as gruesome as Cocaine Bear, but it's certainly a lot more darker and downbeat than Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, but again, true, but it's the purpose of the film, though. The context is there. It's like when you talked about 12 Years a Slave, and you consider it to be pornography of terror, and to which I'd say, well, no, but it's there for a point, it's for a reason. It's meant to drive home a message. And I think with Revenant, it's doing that. It's pretty much pretty obvious that that's there for the same reason. So, I mean...
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's supposed to depict the harsh realities of the frontier West. so there's that distancing effect. But as far as I'm concerned, it was the scalping implications, because we see, gruesome detail of Domhnall Gleeson's head being scalped. And there was a quite nasty rape involving an indigenous woman and a French fur trader. It was not pleasant to watch.
No, I totally get that. I totally get. Yeah, like I say hard. It's a hard watch, but it's meant to be a hard watch. So I mean, you can't really fault it for that.
Quite visceral stabbing scenes with Tom Hardy and Leo DiCaprio at the end. You almost feel like, oh, I just got up in the face or something or the ear just from watching that knife fight at the end. Sorry if I gave some bits away to people who haven't seen Revenant, but most people probably have.
I mean, there are many, like I say, the Western is, other than war films, I think the Western genre is quite an extensive one. We won't be able to cover the whole thing from start to finish because Christ will be here all day, if not all month. Where was I going? I mean, there are, obviously, the Western genre has blended into countless other genres, like you say. I mean, you got your space western, like, well, you've got a Joss Whedon's Firefly in the film Serenity, and of course you've got the Mandalorian, all of which fall under that concept of space western, most of which I like. Yeah, you wanted to talk about what's it?
Well, I know you said like mixing genres.
Australian western.
A lot of Aussie Western. He's probably had a little Marmite and a few uses of cunt, as you well know it there, fella. So as far as I'm concerned, my favourite Australian Western, anyone asks, is The Nightingale, which has Irish actress Aisling Fantozzi and was made by the lass who made Babadook.
Yeah, apparently they're known as meat pie Westerns or kangaroo Westerns.
Oh, bloody hell, there, fella. A kangaroo western. I'll put an option for Barbie with that. It's just like a knife. So stereotypes all over.
but that makes a sense. I mean, Australia's history is a bit like America's because you've got the whole land being settled by colonists and everything who fought against the natives. And by that, we mean we went into their it murdered them and stole their land in a very racist fashion, and I think we all owe them a really big apology for it. Of course, the whole concept, one of the concepts of the Western is man against the elements. That's why Revenant counts as a Western. I mean, there's not just the the Australian Western of the what we're talking about, of a meat pie western. Canada had its own, it's called Northerns, or that could be set in Alaska, because again, you've got that. Hell, even the Soviet Union even had its own ones called the Ostern, which were Western-style films produced in the Soviet Union and associated in Europe, albeit they were trying to portray, go from the point of view of the Native Americans, which again probably is how you should be, what you really should be seeing it. Although it's a bit hypocritical of them, considering how the Russians at least had treated the indigenous the native Siberians in the past, much in the same way the Americans had treated the Native Americans and the Australians are treated the Aborigines, so that's that.
They feed them on purpose, but for any sort of historical context for people who are listening, Russia, Soviet Union at the time, liked to play contrarian. So when other countries were saying other countries shouldn't decolonize, they shouldn't have a hand in hand from US and UK and France, Russia was there to support independence movements for, you know, black and Arab countries when Western powers frowned upon that. But at the same time, they had to have their hands tied and do deals with people who probably don't even give a shit about you. And we're still seeing issues like that to this day with Russia somehow being tied with Hamas and South Africa's ANC party. and so on and so forth. So, you know, be very careful who you shake hands with, because they might have a gun behind your back and shoot you when you're not looking. And that also
Very
is
true.
pretty much the theme of the Western itself. You know, they may say, come on down, but you're going to have to return something in favor. And if you don't, I'm going to have to kill you so I can collect my bounty.
Right. That's true, Mark. But back on the subject of Australian Westerns or meat pie Westerns, what was your favorite one of those, did you say it was?
Without doing a Paul Hogan impersonation, it was The Nightingale. But I also do like The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith, which was rejected or banned from like VHS release, I believe, when it came to the UK because they thought it was too violent. It's also quite racially charged as well. It deals with a mixed race Aboriginal person going on a killing spree because he feels like white society has shunned him. Sweet Country is a good one you should check out.
Oh, hang on.
That was
Dude, I'm
very
trying to,
depressing.
Dude, I'm trying to look him up on IMDb as you talk.
Okay, what's your tone
okay,
then, mate?
No, no, it's okay. I'm just doing it. Righty ruse. Okie dokie. No, no, I'm just in. Yeah, Nightingale was an 18 year, even though only MA 15 plus in Australia and only R in America. No idea.
Well, it's a
again,
full
not seen...
18 in our eyes. Lots of rape. Not a pleasant
probably
thing
should
to
have,
watch.
Probably should have been R 18 plus then in Australia. And who knows, maybe even should have got the dreaded NC 17 in America. As far as I'm concerned, if we get the rating, so should they. Oh, 18 in Germany, Ireland. Not an 18 in the other places. Oh, no, Taiwan as well. Oh, and South Korea. Oh, fair enough then. Oh, then I'll see what it is. But yeah, that's fair enough. Because I remember that Mick, was it Mick Jarrett or Mick Garrett, his name from Wolf Creek, stars in a lot of, well, I think he stars in a lot of Australian films that might be considered Westerns, although they're more horror films, but they're all set in the outback, like Wolf Creek and, what is it, Boar? That,
that
horror film with Nathan Jones in.
I don't know what you're talking about on that one.
Oh, it's a horror. It's hang on, I'm looking it up right now. It's a. Well, have you seen Wolf Creek?
I'm afraid not, but I heard the film has some censorship issues in the US and Australia. I know Wolf Creek 2, they had to do an MA-15 version just for cinema release, and then, you know, it was R-18 after the fact. Which I think is a bit stupid, but I know Australia, kind of like US, has some sort of weird phobia about the R18 rating that
yeah,
we just don't have in the UK.
True. I mean, they don't. I mean, they don't. They're not completely scared of it. They can. They will release films that have the rating, but obviously, much prefer the MA15 plus. Well, they prefer the 15 here. But of course, their MA15 plus allows parents to take their kids, whereas R15 doesn't. So that's a lot more tickets you can sell.
Well, that is true.
Again,
I've
just,
you know,
I've
also R18 films in Australia, I don't think you can sell them in certain shops. There's like strict criteria about them. They've got to be segregated from all the other films. You can't also show them on TV unless it's like pay TV stations. And for a very long time with video games, you couldn't have them get that rating. They would have to be cut down or rejected. So.
God, that was annoying.
Oy.
The amount of video games that had been cut around the world because to get avoid an R18 plus on Australia's ACB, Fallout 3. I've just realised, of course, Australian Westerns, Mad Max technically counts.
You could say that. I mean, it's more action film, but they are considered like outback Westerns, like sci-fi Westerns, if you ever think about them, mate.
What? well, the outback is... America's either Great Plains or Wild Western Front or anything, because it's where all the rugged nature stuff takes place. So yeah, it's where if you're gonna have a Western, that's where it take place. Just like if you was in Canada, it'd be up
like in
the
prairies.
well, yeah, exactly.
You would
anywhere
make my grandfather
where,
very happy.
Anywhere where civilization may come to its end, and the and the rugged wilderness starts to take over. And it's just man against the elements and nature. I've already said that. I know I'm repeating myself. But, you know, you get the message. You get the picture. So... just come back. I did mention one Western I thought, because of, again, Western bleeds into so many things. I remember I told you about this during our anime episode, but you may have forgotten about it. The anime called Golden Kamuy, or Kamuy, I don't know how you pronounce it. Do you remember that? Me telling you about that?
Yes, I remember to some degree. When I think of animated Westerns, whether they be Japanese or American, I think of Rango. That was a PG film. It was also a bit edgier than most anime films typically would be, mainly because there was a lot of use of smoking, and there were some complaints about that from parents saying, it seems also trivial to have all the cartoon characters smoking cigarettes. And also there was some, you know, sexual innuendo in the form of jokes about prostate and sluts and hussies and hanging. That sort of thing. People thought the snakes were scary. I think it's fine at PG.
I haven't seen it, so I can't comment. No, Golden Kamuy was basically a Japanese equivalent of a Western, and it's set in Hokkaido in the aftermath of a Russo-Japanese war. So again, you've, like most Westerns, you've got the post-war element, the lesser built-up area, and of course Hokkaido belonged to the native Ainu of there, which, of course, the Japanese started stealing and started colonizing and stealing from them. So again, it's very much a case. So it fits all the elements of a Western, and of course, like many Westerns, the main character is trying to on a quest to find some gold. And he's teaming up with a young native to help him and everything, whilst avoiding some other wrong'uns who are trying to track him down and steal it and everything, and, you know, yada yada yada. But if you've got Crunchyroll, you can watch it on Funimation as well, but it won't be subbed. I suppose if you like to watch it dubbed, you can watch it then. But if you want to watch it subbed, you have to watch it on Crunchyroll. It is very good.
Well, you already know about my policy about seeing anything made after 2009 or 2010. But, you know, everything could change. I did see Boy in the Heron, which we, you know, on private DMs, we were talking about, should it have been a PG or shouldn't it have been a 12A? But we won't talk about that because that's not a Western. But, yeah, if anything... I know I said Rango, which I think is a movie you'll like, because it's very similar in terms of tone to a movie like Ants. Is it a kids' movie? Is it for adults? It sort of bridges that gap a little bit, kind of like The Simpsons. But you might like Trigun, or...
I watched the first episode of that. I thought it was all right. Didn't think it was great or anything, but... I probably should have... watched a bit more of it. I just couldn't be asked. But I've seen the first episode.
I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's certainly no Exo Saga and Elfen Lied, but as Western's animations are concerned, it kind of stands out. So it has a killer soundtrack, and also sort of volume-wise, because there's about 8 of them. When I remember back in my HMV browsing these, it varied from PG to 15. I was like, oh. That's like 3 ratings, and it's like 12, 12, 15, PG, 12, 15, 15, PG. It's disorienting a bit like that. Like Friends, when they had the DVD volumes, it was like 12, 12, PG, PG, 15, 12, PG. Well, does that make you laugh whenever back in your days where you used to go to HMV and stuff, you would see like the ratings for each of the DVD volumes, and you'd be like perplexed as to why the ratings are so varied?
Sometimes, but the thing is, though, is like it's worse when you actually look at the BBFC website, and of course, like when they rate each and every individual episode, and of course, it's like just they're all over the place.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that can be said certainly in a more digital age, but back when you had to rely on the video store, it could be a little disorienting, because when you're at home and you're watching all this crap, you're not paying attention to whether it's going to be a 12 or 15 episode. They just air it. Although, you know, they might have to cut some things out for daytime broadcasts, which is what happened a lot with The Simpsons. I'm sure with Friends, when they used to air on T4 and stuff, they would probably have to trim some sexual joke or maybe a bit of language that's already been truncated because it aired on NBC.
Well, very likely. Like I say, I mean, I can't really talk much for American policies or American network policies or anything, because I'm not American and I don't live there and never have. So well, I mean, that's
I have. And,
yeah, I know. We're aware of that. Of course, we could go in. We mentioned a concept of revisionist westerns earlier on. Of course, one of the ones I just wanted to bring up, I meant to bring up earlier, but I haven't got around to mention it. I'm going to mention it now. Have you seen Dances with Wolves?
I have. 15 UK, PG-13 stateside. It's brutal in places.
No, it was actually a 12 to begin with. Well, I mean, it was a 12, one of those ones that was 12 at the cinema, but because 12 wasn't on... wasn't on video yet. Yeah, it had to be bumped up to the. But sorry, was it bumped up to a 15 on video?
Oh yeah, of course. Pre-94, when a lot of that changed. And they.
Good God, they still haven't decreased it to a freaking 12 on a 12 on video. Or maybe they don't think it deserves it. Maybe they are officially bumping up to a 15. Who knows? But no, it was a 12 on at the cinema. But no, I mean, that was probably, I don't know if that's one of the first ones that took a really sympathetic look at the Native Americans rather than the cowboys who are fighting them. Of course, it does invoke the rather the white savior trope, but hey ho, can't expect everything out of a film released in 1990. And of course, it set this up. Because when Avatar came out in 2009, it was considered just Dances with Smurfs.
Well, and mostly known for it because of the, like you said, the white savior narrative, which maybe I'm one of the few people on the left that's a little bit more, not as hung up on that sort of issue, because as long as you've seen people from the other side and their struggles, and you might change your tune a bit, but you know, you have to be careful the way you do it. There are some films where it can be a little too on the nose a bit, like Green Book, which now people think is a crappy movie that actually is kind of racist by design and not well-meaning as people thought initially was. I don't know if you've seen Green Book, but...
I haven't meant to see it, but I just don't know where... I haven't just got around to watching it. I don't know if it's available to watch for free. So far, none of the streaming platforms seem to be offering up free, so I haven't sat, so I haven't watched it. So I have not watched it.
Mm. All right. Well, I know that's not a Western, so I'll sort of bounce back my discussion on that one. But yes, Green. Far as I'm concerned, well, when people think violent Western, I know people sort of bring up Bone Tomahawk, which people say is one of the most violent films they ever saw. And I keep hearing this on the internet. I've seen clips of it. I'm like, okay. And but people, when they keep remembering Bone Tomahawk, but do they forget about The Wild Bunch? Sam Peckinpah. He was a fucking madman. Heavy on the drinking, heavy on the violence. 18 certificate, rated R, and it was considered the most violent Western film ever made back in whenever it came out, like late 60s, early 70s. They even threatened to re-rate it NC-17 until MPA had to look at their own records, and they said, wait a minute, was R.
Mark, Bone Tomahawk, was that remade or anything? Because I'm looking now in a 2015 one.
They didn't remake it. I'm just saying in context. People, when they say about violent, very violent Westerns, they think of Bone Tomahawk. but they don't think of Wild Bunch.
Well, yeah. Oh, right. Wild Bunch was the one that... Right. Yeah, because I'm looking at Bone Tomahawk. Yes, 18 here. R18 plus in Australia. Even France gave it a 16, which is usually quite telling. Germany, Hungary, Ireland, 18. Mind you, I said, though, Canada have been remarkably liberal of it. 18A in Manitoba and Ontario. Nova Scotia, 14A in Quebec, 13+. That's fucking right. K18 in Finland, that's the reason. New Zealand, R18. Fair enough. Norway, R18. Yeah, okay, fair enough. USA not rated. That usually means it would have got an NC-17.
Well, there is a really brutal scene of a man who's naked being dismembered in half. I think we even see like his intestines coming out or something, but he's cut up in half by some sort of cannibal tribe. I've never seen the film as a whole, but I'm often told that made people vomit. That film fucked them up. But they've not seen Wild Bunch, and that movie was, deemed very violent back in its day. Now, in context now, compared to all this John Wick and crap, it probably would be a 15 because there isn't much in the way of blood. Well, if there is blood, it's just squibby, but it's never so prolonged and excessive. You've not seen Wild Bunch, I'm guessing.
No. Sorry. I know I'm not really doing very well on this podcast in terms of films I've actually watched, but...
Well, it's much better than the crime one, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, sorry, mate. I can't say everything on our podcast is going to be absolutely gold for me. I'm just sort of winging it right here. No, I have not seen Wild Bunch, nor have I seen Bone Tomahawk. Okay, Wild Bunch was last released on any platform in this country in 1998, so that'd been under Furman, so yes, 18. Probably, maybe could get with a 15 now if one of the more liberal one directors had seen it. Who knows, maybe. I can't say for sure. I haven't seen Bone Tomahawk either. In fact, how many Westerns have I seen? I was wondering how...
Well, you've probably seen a hell of a lot more than I have, because you said High Noon and Hang 'em High and... some of the spaghetti western stuff.
I've not seen any of them. I'm just mentioning them. I'm just throwing them out there. I ain't seen them.
All right, because for me, I as far as westerns, I've only seen one John Wayne. I've seen Rango, Blazing Saddles, and Django Unchained, Revenant, and Nightingale, and Sweet Country. I mostly stick with the Australian westerns.
Okay.
They kick much ass, those meat pie ones. I know you probably would like The Proposition, Scott Ray Winstone. That one, it was R-rated, but it was very violent as far as like watching people being flogged or whipped, and there's blood everywhere. It's nasty. And there's this scene of an Aboriginal's man head being blown off, part of it, and it was quite graphic. Actually wanting to see that when it came out, but I couldn't because it was 18.
When what came out?
The Proposition. It was like a Western from like 05 or 06. It had Guy Pearce and Ray Winstone in it.
All right. I've not seen that. One film I have seen recently that's classed as a Western, The Harder They Fall.
Oh, I remember that one. Black Western, which that's kind of a bit of a rarity, except when you think of the movie Posse by Mario Van Peebles. You should check that one. That one's pretty good. But Harder They Fly, I was told, gets quite violent. You've got dismemberment, slow motion shootings, but I'm sure at 15, most 15-year-olds have seen almost everything. So it's probably not a big deal watching someone's hand being dismembered.
Well, again, I mean, it all depends on how sadistic it might be considered, how action orientated it is. I mean, I can't. I'm not an examiner, but it does seem a bit weird, strange how like these really violent films can get suddenly thrown away at 15, and suddenly they decide another film comes along, they slap an 18 in it, and you watch it thinking, okay, not following the logic. I suppose you did see a bone splinter on that with Lingdon, so maybe, but
But that's how I felt when I saw Last Night in Soho. That's not a Western for anyone who's listening, but we see, you know, quite prolonged stabbing scenes. But as far as visceral nature is concerned, it actually was much milder than something like Death Chasm, which has people being dismembered and dismemberment, people being beaten, fight with dildos and chainsaws, like fucking crazy shit. It's a comedy, but it's extremely nasty, and it's a 15. I could go on forever about it, because as you well know, I always seem to be a bit hung up whenever there's a 15 film that's too violent, because I'm so used to the days of the 18, where if you want to show someone being dismembered, leave that shit at 18, please. If you want to show a woman being raped, leave that 18.
Well, again, I'm, of course, of the mindset, well, because I remember when in the early 2000s, after Furman fucked off and they took over, he's really chill act at 15. It was like, wow, they have chilled out. They have become much cooler than they were. And I'm glad that they did. Like I've said, the more they let go at 15, the better, because it shows that when an 18 slap is like, okay, this must really have deserved, really have warranted it. So, I mean, and considering, and I can't, and I have, I know I've mentioned this a lot, but I can't think it warrants mentioning again. 15 is our equivalent of America's R rating. 18 is our equivalent of America's NC-17. So I can't help thinking we should be maybe trying to be, trying to use those two ratings appropriately and everything as, well, I don't know how to really finish that sentence, but like, no, say,
but I get your logic, and I'm sure if you've met people from Australia and maybe even Canada, they probably would feel the same way, because compared to us, Australians have it and Canadians have it so easy. They can watch these very violent, quite sexual films with their parent at 14 or 18 or even under that, as long as they're accompanied. And I'm like, yeah, we're not, what's the word? Buzzkill, or we kill the fun. That's kind not, of how we live in the UK.
Yeah, yes, well, exactly.
In Britain, especially we are killjoys.
Especially considering how restrictive your ratings are, that they don't let parents take their kids. Exactly. So I try to get the BBFC to say, yeah, can you not slap them ratings on this shit too flippantly, please? But it seems like it just falls on deaf ears, and it seems to fall on deaf ears around everyone else.
I don't know if it's just a matter of our nation's psyche or whatever it is, but...
Well, yeah. I mean...
Well, actually, let me cut you off there for a second, because to some extent, you know, all these people all around the world want to come to the UK, legal or illegal, because they think we're so sort of libertine about things. But we're not. You've got us all wrong there. Maybe a little bit more so than the US, but I'm sure compared to our Canadian brothers or Australian brothers or people who don't even speak English, like the French. We've got a ways to go. Sorry. Continue.
Sorry. I don't know if you heard me. I've lost a lot. Have you seen Prey from 2022?
Is it supposed to be some sort of prequel to The Predator? And it's got like an indigenous woman. All I know is it's probably going to be a 15.
I don't know, but it's not rated. It's probably a 15 or anything, but it counts pretty much as a it's 15. It counts as a Western, because it's according to the Wikipedia, that's a list of Westerns. Yeah, Prey counts as a Western. That was a damn good Predator film, though. I mean, probably the best one since the first one. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know about Predator movies that well. It's like Alien. It's not something like I'm hung up about. But I'm glad to know you liked it.
Well, Evan, I know, seen it. Thought it was awesome. So, you know, I'm not on my own there.
Exactly there. Well, if from what the marketing looked like, it looked like they were trying to do some sort of Joker 10 Cloverfield sort of trick on the audience, making it seem like, hey, this is a very new thing, but somehow tied to a bigger franchise. That's how I viewed it as. But in Joker and 10 Cloverfield Lane's case, it certainly worked. I don't know if it probably will work for the Predator prequel called Prey, but that's really the jury's out on that. But I don't know if you have any other questions or ideas as far as Westerns are concerned, because I'm ashamed to say this, I'm kind of running out of them.
We mentioned Japanese potential for Japanese West, because I don't think you might have seen it, but of course there was that Magnificent Seven film from 1960 that came out, but of course that was a remake of Seven Samurai, just made for a more American audience rather than a Japanese one. And of course, well, that's the thing. It was probably like a bunch of wandering strangers and everything going around from town to town and everything, just on their own, as outlaws. About as Western as you can get, really.
Well, absolutely there. sort of bandits fighting together to stop like a warlord or something from happening like that. But when I think of sort of bandits fighting together for something, I think of the movie 13 Assassins, which was made by the most extreme filmmaker in the universe. And no, his name is not Tom Six, it's Miki Takahashi. I don't know if that is a Western, but it's martial arts film. It's quite brutal. It first starts with a seppuku or harakiri suicide, where you put a sword in your stomach and you disembowel yourself, and it ends with
Yeah, seppuku.
decapitations. And that is a
Yeah,
15.
seppuku. Oh, that's true. Well, I mean, I haven't seen the film, so I can't comment.
I think
I mean,
you
it's
would
just one
like
thing I
it.
wanted.
It's actually a nice martial arts movie, 13
Well,
Assassins.
I'll keep it in mind. I'll keep it in mind. No, but to be honest, I think that was the last. I think that's all I've had to say. So I think I've said my piece. I think I've run out of anything else to contribute to this podcast, Mark. So I'm
I'm
going to
just
let you
happy for
add.
the effort.
Well, I think I get an A for effort, but probably a D minus for actual contributions. So, oh well, I'll let you decide actually what I get. But
We'll make it B minus.
I'll take that. I think Mummy will be very proud.
I'm not your parent. You're not at school or university anymore. But needless to say, for anyone who is listening, there is a possibility we might do maybe a few more episodes. I know it's going to be 40 years of PG-13, so that's going to be a very interesting one to talk about, even though we did do one on the 20 years of 12A from almost nearly 2 years ago. But for anyone who's listening, please do stay tuned, and we might do one on youth certificate films or sports movies because the Olympics are occurring in Paris. So whatever it is, stay on alert. And for anyone who's listening, ceasefire now. This
Ceasefire
Israel-Hamas
now.
war is getting way too out of hand.
That is true. And hell, we were talking about settlers. I mean, Christ, that's probably not really optimal time to be talking about it. So, yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for having me on, Mark.
Anytime there.
And
Until then,
yeah. Peace out.
peace.